there, as I say, at the 1st of July, and this the day that we tried to beat the German back, and he held on, and we lost a lot of men that day.
I did know, and I'm proud to say it, I did know my grandfather. He died when I was 17, and interestingly, when he was 17, he would have been fighting on the Western Front, in 1916, he would have been on the Somme, and he would have been roughly around about 17 years of age.
The first, actually, German I came to fist with after we went over, he was in his own dugout. And I'm sure he was younger than me, and I was, that was 19 and 17, I was 19 then, and I'm sure he wasn't 17. Well, he couldn't speak German, and he couldn't speak English, and I couldn't speak German. But he was taken as prisoner of war, and they thought we were going to shoot him. But, I mean, that wasn't done.
I don't, to the best of my memory, remember he and I ever discuss the First World War. He basically arrived on the Western Front in late winter of 1915. Not only was he a combatant at the Battle of the Somme, and we know the loss of life at that, but subsequent to that, he then was moved to Ypres, and then he ended up in a London battalion after he got wounded, and he was at Passchendaele, and he was wounded, and obviously taken out of the lines and sent back when he recovered, and he was wounded at the Battle of Cambrai, and he survived. And if he hadn't survived, I wouldn't be here today talking to you.
It's remarkable, really, isn't it, that you think that he went through all that and managed to survive, obviously, when so many didn't. And I know you'd said that he didn't, like so many men, didn't really talk about what he'd experienced, but we're very lucky because he did talk about what he'd experienced in a radio interview with Radio Foyle in the early 1980s. We still have that, incredibly. What's it like for you hearing your grandfather's voice describing what happened?
Spine-chilling is probably the best way to describe hearing his voice. I had never heard that interview until I dug it out to give to yourself. So it's spine-chilling, but not in a bad way, in a very, very good way. It's also very comforting to hear my grandfather's voice. He was, despite all of the tribulations and travails that he might have been through in his life, he was quite a happy person and quite a jolly man. It's a nice thing to hear, I suppose, isn't it? He died in 1983, so I haven't or hadn't heard his voice since 1983.
I remember a fortnight before the 1st of July, we didn't know, we knew we were going to battle, but we didn't know what day we were getting in or what morning we were going to start. And we lay in the trenches that night, and we lay in assembly trenches, which was dug, you see, for the extra men, with just a small trench in the adjacent to the main trenches. And we were waiting to go on. We were supposed to go over first on the 30th of June, and it was split back for some reason or other. So we went on the 1st of July. Well, the company I was in was about 200 strong on this 1st of July day, and only 21 of us came back. That was two officers and 19 other ranks.
My grandfather actually, in that tape, actually tells that there were 200 men, and I think he called it his platoon, on the first day of the Somme. By the end of that Somme campaign, 21 had survived intact, two officers and 19 men, of which he was one. So when you think about it, the odds weren't great, were they?
You're emotional just thinking about it, aren't you?
Yeah, really, I am, yeah. When I think of how he would have been involved in that horrible conflict, it's important to remember that Irishmen from all sides suffered the same, and so it does make you emotional. It does. I think about that, and I think about how senseless it was. I do know that he would have reflected upon it to the day he died, and I know that he, to quote him himself, he thanked God every day that he survived it.